Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living health care fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.
By definition, a storyteller conveys events in words, images, and sounds, often by improvisation or embellishment. The Living Bread Radio Network presents The Storytellers with Tony Agnese. Today, you'll hear a faith-based, inspirational story that's both heartfelt and heartwarming. And now, let's meet today's storyteller with Tony Agnese.
This is Tony Agnese, and welcome to The Storytellers. Each week on the show, we feature a special guest. We hear about their story and their latest projects, and I am just pleased as I can be to have Allison Gingras on with us. Allison and I have known each other via the internet for a number of years. We're kind of kindred spirits in the sense that we both do blogs, and we both write, and we both try to keep some humor in what we do and talking about everyday life. And we met for the first time in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, at the Catholic Marketers Marketing Conference a few months back, and really never got a chance to talk. We were both busy plugging our books. So, Allison, it is wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Tony, for having me on. You know, we got to do the most important thing. We got to hug.
We did.
Really, as a Portuguese woman, that's all I need. Just give me a hug and we're good.
You betcha. Well, Allison's blog is entitled Reconciled to You. That's where we first met. And she's a speaker and author. And we're going to talk about her latest project as an author here in a little bit. But I have always been impressed with the way you kind of treat just the ordinary everyday life of being a Catholic in this crazy world we live in, and do it in with some humor. Tell us how that all came about, getting started in terms of blogging and speaking, and really sharing with people the day to days of living a good Catholic life.
Well, it began with an invitation to go to someone's house to do a faith sharing group, a Bible study. In fact, I laughed when she first invited me, and I kind of leaned in close and whispered, "I'm sorry, but I'm Catholic, and we don't read the Bible."
That's
little
true.
Did I know, little did I know that once I actually opened that beautiful Bible that St. Jerome, a Catholic, helped create, that I would fall deeply, madly in love with God. And I knew that that relationship was to be more than just 1 hour a week. And I started to then look into how every day I could bring God into my everyday ordinary life, washing the dishes. I would pray and in great thanksgiving that I had dishes to wash instead of grumbling that once again that sink was filled. As I drove around town, I would pray for the people I knew, as the houses I went by, for the police, for the fire. You know, just really trying to bring God into the presence of the things that we do in our normal life.
You know, you mentioned the can I get it done in 1 hour a week, and I just have a sense that so many fellow Catholics, Allison, you know, feel like their obligation is to put that hour in, and they're good for the week. And for people like you and I just can't seem to feel that that's enough. You know, I eat 3, 4, 5 meals a day. Sometimes all you have to do is take a look at me and know that I do that. So I feed my physical self pretty darn good, I might add. And so why wouldn't you fill your spiritual life the same way?
Well, as you're saying that, I was just thinking, do they know about second breakfasts? that's my favorite. But I don't think that, I mean, for me especially, I just didn't know that God wanted that much time with me. I didn't really think too much about how he created me and he loves me so deeply. Of course he wants to be a part of every day. I think about the scriptures that say he knows the amount of hair on my head. Now, for my husband, that's an easy count.
And me as well.
But for the rest of us, that just overwhelmed me, like how intimately he wants to have a relationship with us. Well, I know that I have friends I only see once or twice a year. We're not the closest of friends. We don't have that intimate relationship. But the ones that I talk to every day, like my sister, my cousin, we're the best of friends. And I thought, And we will talk, thanks to the internet, we could talk all day long. We're all three of us at work, and we can be sending each other messages. And I kind of look at, like, that little bit of prayer throughout my day is like little instant messages to God. Like, hi, God, it's me again. Can you help with this? Or just sharing what's on my mind. And the more time I spent talking with him and kind of carving out these little seconds here and there, the deeper my relationship grew. It was kind of like that, like a rolling, you know, tumbleweed or whatever, snowball. I live in the Northeast. You know, the more momentum I gave it by giving God just tiny little bits of myself, the more I felt filled with his love and his grace, and the more I wanted. It was kind of, you know, wanted to just keep getting to know him. But it did start with just little bits of I didn't dive right into praying all day long.
Yeah, I think
like 13 years.
I think, you know, Allison, I think people hear St. Paul's admonition to pray continuously, and they think that we're, you know, on our knees, 24 hours a day praying. But I interpret, you know, praying continuously as just what you said, is just those. If Jesus is truly my friend, then don't you want to hang out with your friend, and don't you want to exchange those text messages? You know, I did a little meme on my Facebook page a week or two ago. You know, what if you could text message God? What would you say? Well, that's really what that prayer really is, isn't it? Those little moments that you grab throughout the day and include the Lord in your life.
Absolutely. And I call these little moments where you see God kind of responding back. People might think of them as coincidence, but for me, they're a godsend. For instance, I really do believe that God uses email and texting and Facebook. There'll be times I'll be thinking of something and really, like really asking the Lord to guide me. And suddenly I'll get an email that it's just exactly what I was just thinking. Or somebody will reach out to me and say, hey, I was... And their advice will be, like, they couldn't have known I needed it at that very moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel like not only could we send God our prayers and our little text messages, but he can absolutely and will, when we open up our hearts, communicate back to us. And that's that beautiful give and take that I never grew up with. I never knew that God wanted to talk to me. I just lived in fear of him until I figured I would be the best Christian ever when I was an old lady and really close to death, because then I didn't have much time. But what I didn't realize is God's like, no, don't wait. Like, first of all, you never know. And second of all, what a beautiful, filled, abundant life. John 10:10, he come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. That abundant life really requires us to communicate with God, as you said, St. Paul says, without ceasing.
You know, you mentioned you don't believe in coincidences, and neither do I. I really don't believe in them. And I wrote a piece many years ago called The 3 o'clock Call, and it was a woman that I had met, and every day at 3 o'clock, she calls someone. And I asked her, do you ever run out of people to call? And she says, no, there's always somebody hurting, somebody in the hospital, somebody that just lost a job. There's always somebody to call. And the interesting thing she said is, the majority of times when I call someone, what's that person on the other end of the line say?
I would imagine they would be just, I was your call just what I needed.
I was just thinking of you. Your call was exactly what I needed at this moment. Now, is that a coincidence or did God arrange that?
That's such a God-sidence moment. I love that. And, you know, why would God create us and then disappear? Like, of course he wants to be part of our lives. And of course he wants to make, he wants us to recognize and see him in our lives. He didn't create us and just say, good luck, see you when you die. Like, he created us out of love for us. And if you love somebody, you want to be with them and connected to them as often as you possibly can.
Allison Gingras is my guest. Her blog is Reconciled to You. She does this great little video feature called The Seeking Heart. I want to talk a little bit about that for a moment. But and the way you handle things with The Seeking Heart is just wonderful. Talk a little bit about how that video podcast or vlog or whatever we call those video podcasts came along.
Well, I was doing a radio show, a live radio show, 5 days a week. It was called The Seeking Heart, and it was on Real Life Radio. And unfortunately, Real Life Radio did not stay on the air, and neither did my show. So they came back and asked me to do a podcast. Well, I'd gotten so used to that live feedback and interacting with people that just doing the podcast and talking to the wall, though I do that very well. My husband says I could pretty much talk to a stone and entertain it. I really wanted that live feedback. I loved that so much. Like, I want to share my faith, but I'm as blessed by what people share back. Mm-hmm. So I decided to try to figure out a way and, you know, went to the internet and kind of, like, thought about different avenues and doing a Facebook Live every Monday at 12:30 Eastern Time on Reconciled to You Facebook page was the best way to do it. So it's a video now, but it's also downloadable. It becomes a podcast, and you get that from breadboxmedia.com.
Mm-hmm. And Breadbox Media, we should mention there are a lot of really, really great programs on Breadbox Media. And certainly if you go there, you'll see Allison's program as well. That the idea of getting feedback, you know, and you this probably happens to you as well. I do a lot of speaking engagements and talk about my books. And my books are basically short stories. And I just am a storyteller, as I know you are. That's why we connect so well, is that we both like to tell stories. And what I find is not only when I tell stories, at the end I always open it up, and some of the stories that come back to me are just fantastic stories. Just love every bit about it. And it actually makes my evening when I'm out speaking to just to hear some of the stories that come back to me. It's that feedback, I guess, that really stokes up my faith. Do you find that to be the case with you as well?
Oh, absolutely. I love that we live in a time where we can connect with people across the world, really. I have people that I've connected in Ireland and England, and I think that's fantastic. But there's just something about that face-to-face contact, that intimacy when somebody pulls you aside and says, you know, I haven't been to confession in 50 years, and I don't know, you know, how to do this, but you've inspired me that I'm going to do it. And to be able to just listen to their stories, why they haven't gone. And sometimes, again, that hug or holding their hand and just physically connecting with people and knowing that they're not alone, not the only one trying to struggle and figure out this faith thing, but that we're all connected, we're all the body of Christ. And I really do enjoy not only hearing from them through emails and messages on Facebook, but really just to one-on-one and to look them in the eyes and to share our faith together.
Mm-hmm. Well, when did all this culminate in your city saying, I need to write something, I need to get something something down? What was the motivation that caused you to sit down and start writing?
Well, it started back in 1980-something when I started college and became an English major to write the next great American novel, which did not happen. I just, you know, telling the stories, and you, by the way, are probably the best storyteller of all time. Just want to say that out loud.
God,
I just
you.
Love your stories, Tony. Just love them. But, you know, telling these stories again and again, and at the end of a retreat or a presentation, having people come up and say, I want to take that story home with me. I really wish, you know, did you write it down? Is it a book? And just praying and saying, no, Lord, you gave me this gift and love of writing. Let's finally put this into a book form. It took me a few years to get it out because I love to speak, but I'm not really disciplined to write. But But we did it. We got the moat.
You know, it seems just it's very parallel to mine, except you were a good writer. My experience in college was the first paper I turned in, I came back with more red ink than black, and the professor said, "You'll never write above a fifth grade level." And so that kind of stunted me from writing. And so it's always been speaking and storytelling. And when I did write a few things back, I think 2012, I gave them to an English professor friend of mine, retired, and I asked her to read them. And I said, "What do you think?" She says, "Oh, they're wonderful stories." I said, "No, more importantly, what grade do I write at?" And she goes, "About sixth grade." So I figure all those years since college, Allison, I'm up a grade. From
which is the perfect grade, by the way, to write at. It's perfect. Then everybody gets what you're trying to say.
My guest is Allison Gingras. She is a blogger and a author and a speaker and a retreat leader and a funny gal and a media geek and all those things put together. But she's got a great new project out and a journaling book called The Gift of Invitation, 7 Ways That Jesus Invites You to a Life of Grace. And it's part of a series. And I want to find out how all that came about and everything. And we'll do that when we return with our guest, Allison Ginger.
CatholicBook.net is a proud supporter of the Storytellers. Find all the books discussed on today's program at CatholicBook.net or visit our local shop in Canton at St. Raphael Books and Gifts, 4365 Fulton Drive Northwest. CatholicBook.net, for 30 years, a commitment to service.
Hi, this is Tony Agnese, and welcome back to The Storytellers. On this version of The Storytellers, Allison Gingras is my guest. She's an author and blogger and podcaster. She writes for Women in the New Evangelization. She contributes to CatholicMom.com, and she is a creator of and series editor of the Stay Connected Journals for Catholic Women. Allison, that's where I want to go next. You've got a brand new project out there that I really would love to talk to you about. Tell us a little bit about the Stay Connected Journals and how that came about.
This is a really fun story. Now, I had this idea for a long time. I started by telling you that I had gone to a Bible study at this woman's house. And I really loved the fellowship of being together with women, but we didn't really have good Catholic content. Now, this is over 10 years ago. There's some really great stuff out now. But some of them are just, they're longer books, and they're wonderful. But when you're in a group with women and you're meeting week after week, because I really believe in the meeting every week scenario, you can get kind of just a little tired by trying to read these bigger books, and then life happens and family and work and all of that. So in my heart was wanting to create a book where if you did not have time in the whole week to do your homework, quote-unquote homework, you could come to the group in an hour and a half, 2 hours, you all together could read the reflections, look at the scripture verses, answer the questions, and just kind of grow in faith together. But I really wasn't sure how I was going to make all this happen. And I went out for a walk I love to walk and pray at the same time. And I usually do it with my rosary, but that day I'd left my rosaries inside. And I know I have 10 fingers and I could have used those, but that day I just felt like I needed to have this like heart-to-heart talk with God through my guardian angel, who they're lighten and guide and to guide us and enlighten us, as I just said. So I decided just to say, like, I want to have this project, and how do I make it happen? And through this conversation of just allowing myself to pray and be enlightened, became the Stay Connected Journals for Catholic Women. It's a series. There are 3 out now, 3 more coming May 1st. Hopefully, God willing, many more in the future. But it's really exciting to see that from that walk and that time of prayer and being let myself be guided by my guardian angel and by the Holy Spirit, to now staring at these beautiful covers, and the books are just phenomenal, and women are really, really loving them.
So yours is the first volume, the Seven Ways That Jesus Invites You. Now, if I were at a Bible study or a prayer group or whatever, each of these volumes takes me how long to get through? I mean, if we were doing a section a night or however that works, give me the rhythm of how that would work over the course of a study.
So there are each seven chapters, because that's the perfect number, so we had to go with a seven-chapter book, and each chapter has an opening and closing prayer. I mean, they're totally no-brainers to facilitating your small group faith sharing. There's opening and closing prayers, there's an opening reflection, and then there's actually scripture verses that you have to open up your Bibles and go and investigate and look up yourself, which was really important to me, because it was through time in God's Word that I fell deeply, madly in love with him, and I wanted to give other women that opportunity. And I even don't even give you the answers at the back of the book. You can get them off my website, reconciledtoyou.com, but you have to look it up yourself. And then there's discussion questions, some for you to reflect on yourself and others for you to share with the women in the group.
Mm-hmm. And usually this the process is 90 minutes, or how long does that normally last?
Well, my group goes 2 hours, but you can do it in an hour and a half. I think 2 hours once a week is really a beautiful gift to give yourself. Mm-hmm. To give you've left the house anyway. You're giving yourself that time, 2 hours to be with your girlfriends, to make this time for God and to let him touch your heart. He'll always bless the time you give him sevenfold.
Mm-hmm. And what's the feedback been from the groups that have bought it so far and are using it in their group? What kind of feedback are you getting?
I love that they get my sense of humor, that I'm making people laugh. There's three books. Mine is, again, The Gift of Invitation, and this is just really opening up our hearts to grace. And people have really enjoyed looking up the Bible verses. Again, I tell very funny stories. All true. You can't make that stuff up. The more true they are, usually the funnier they are. Women are doing the questions and being able to connect with other women in their faith. The other two books are the being invited to invite the Holy Spirit into your life, and that's like more of a catechetical based on the fruits of the Spirit, and then exploring the Catholic classics, how spiritual reading can help you grow in wisdom, and that's by Tiffany Walsh, who is a librarian, and she took seven Catholic classics and broke them down to make them very readable, and people are really connecting to the stories. They're all very relational. They're enjoying using the scriptures, opening up their Bibles, and just really enjoying the books. It's been kind of exciting to take it from this idea to now people being so blessed by them.
You know, it's kind of interesting. My first book, A Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life, there's a couple of men's groups that have been using it kind of that way, and one Catholic group and one Methodist group. And I've sat in on the group, and it's kind of interesting because they read the stories and they laugh at the right places and so forth. But the most important thing that to me, which was just very, very heartfelt, is when they begin to discuss the questions, the things that come out are just amazing, and just kind of my little story is usually dwarfed by some of these fantastic conversations they've had. And I would suggest if you get a chance to sit in on a group of people using it, you might find that same kind of feeling. It's terrific.
Well, I have a group that comes to my house every week. I call them the Bible Babes, and I did kind of forced them to do the Gift of Invitation with me. And this is when I discovered that I'm really just the Holy Spirit's stenographer. Because we'll be reading, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I had no idea I even knew that. Never mind that I actually wrote that. I was like, isn't that great that the Holy Spirit to use me as the secretary? I'm so cool with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. Well, for the people, especially the women that might be listening in who are saying, wow, this looks like something we might want to add to our Bible study or our prayer group and so forth. Give us a little tease here. The Seven Ways Jesus Invites You to a Life of Grace. Now, you don't have to give me the whole book, but could you share a couple of those ideas with us?
Oh, absolutely. I tried to look at the scriptures and what Jesus was saying to us and the ways he invites us, because I came to know him through an invitation. And that invitation came from this beautiful woman at church. But the more that I got to know Christ, the more I knew she was just working as his conduit there. The invitation truly came from him. So he invites us to come and see, to follow him, to get to know him better, to take up his yoke, which means to take on his teachings and to learn from him. He gives us this great knowledge to know his Father better. He kind of introduces us to God in a beautiful way through seeing him. We see God, but he gives us this invitation to pray and to know him better, to ask anything in his name, and the scriptures tell us it will be given to us, of course, given to us according to God's will, but yet do not be afraid to ask. And I know that sometimes we look at asking in prayer as like a genie's bottle, like we're only given three wishes from God, we only three prayers and then we're out. God's like, I don't work that way. You cannot outpray God's generosity. Mm-hmm. Invitation to forgive from our hearts, to accept God's mercy and to show God's mercy, to believe in him. And I think the most important is once God touches your heart in all of these ways and you answer all these invitations, then you have to go forward as disciples and share the good news. So we're invited to learn from him, to take him on, to believe, and to have our hearts filled with his grace. But then, most importantly, not to keep it for ourselves, but to go forward and be disciples and share it with others.
You know, a lot of people, and I would say especially Catholics, you may agree, I'm not qualified to share my faith. Well, I don't have the background that I need to do that. And the Great Commission is go make disciples of all nations. That's what we are all charged to do. But yet, a lot of people just don't feel qualified, if you will. Do you find that to be the case?
Yes, I do. And in order, I share with them what I've done with the gift of invitation. I just share my authentic witness. I'm just telling you what God's done for me. I am just sharing with you my journey, right or wrong, I'm no theologian. I'm just a woman who loves God with her whole heart, mind, soul, and most days, like not every day, like some days I'm a hot mess. Mm-hmm. Like I need to like really ask God's forgiveness, and I doubt, I have those moments where I'm not sure. So what I share is my journey, and every journey that any person has it qualifies you. If you are seeking God and you've had moments of inspiration and love and grace from him, then just sharing those, that's what brings people closer to Christ. It's not telling them the rules. It's not knowing theology inside and out. It's knowing what God has done for you, like the woman at the well, like having that encounter with Christ and not keeping it to yourself. My favorite whole line in John 4, at the very end, when the woman goes out and she tells all the townspeople, that they come back and they say, we believe not because of what you've done or said, but because we've seen it with our own eyes.
Amen. The book is entitled The Gift of Invitation. It's a series of journals. There are three out right now, three more coming in May. The Gift of Invitation, 7 Ways That Jesus Invites You to a Life of Grace is the first one, and it is put together. The whole series is kind of put together with the help of our friend Allison Gingras. Allison, you're the real deal. I really love talking with you. This has been terrific, and I wish you nothing but the best. The book is available everywhere that great Catholic books are sold, and CatholicBook.net, one of our sponsors, has the book available. You just go online to CatholicBook.net and it'll be available right there for you. Allison, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Tony, I'm just overjoyed to have this time with you. Thank you so much.
And now we have a hug and we've shared some time together. So we've got it. We've got
God
it
is together. Good.
God is really good. That's our show for today. We'll be back again next week with another edition of The Storytellers. Just wanted you to know that we will have a show every week with someone who can bring you something of value. And everyone has a story. And I just love sharing those stories with you here on the Living Bread Radio Network. This is Tony Agnese. God bless you. We'll see you next week on The Storytellers.
hope you've enjoyed today's edition of The Storytellers with Tony Agnese, a production of the Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio. To learn more about today's storyteller, go to thestorytellersradio.com. There you can subscribe to the podcast and hear all of our past shows. And join us again next week at this same time for The Storytellers with Tony Agnese.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.